Padivajakacharya, Asa Sarasvati Shishiman, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Ramashikaho, Sri Krishna, Saitanya, Pabunyachananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadigur Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Shama Sundar Gopa Gopina, Shamakun, Radhakun, Gili Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tato jayamudiraya nasta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavata-sevaya. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of a conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. You can't get rid of irrevocable facts. Thank Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we're reading today from First Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 13, which you're all familiar with, is Dhritarashtra quits homes. There's so many instructions in this chapter, so very poignant, so very timely, so very necessary to hear over and over again about, you know, proper detachment and proper putting your mind in the proper place. We're reading today text 44 and 45. 44 is up on the board, right? And I just want to say, Omagina Timidam Dasya, Jinanjana Salakaya, Chatsu Unutam Jaina, Tasmai Shuguru Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada for that, and beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life eternally. Hare Krishna. Text 44. This is, of course, Narada Muni is still speaking. He's, Yanmanyase Dhruvam Lokam. Yanmanyase Dhruvam Lokam. Adhruvam Vanachobayam. Adhruvam Vanachobayam. Sarvata nahi soch yaste.
Sarvata
nahi soch yaste.
Sarvata nahi soch yaste.
Snehad anyantra mohajat.
Snehad
anyantra mohajat. Yanmanyase dhruvalokam. Adhruvam vanachobayam.
Sarvata
nahi soch yaste. Snehad anyatra mohajat. Please chant. Yanmanyase dhruvam lokam. Adhruvam vanachobayam. Snehad anyatra mohajat. Manise dhruvam lokam. Adhruvam vanachobayam. Sarvata nahi soch yaste. Snehad anyatra mohajat. Yanmanyase dhruvam lokam. Adhruvam vanachobayam. Sarvata nahi soch yaste. Yamanyase dhruvam lokam. Adhruvam vanachobayam. Sarvata nahi soch yaste. Sneha anyatra mohajat. Yamanyase dhruvam lokam. Adhruvam vanachobayam. Sarvata nahi soch yaste. Snehad anyatra mohajat. Yat. Even though. Manyase. You think. Dhruvam. Absolute truth. Lokam. Persons. Adhruvam, non-reality. Va, either. Na, not. Cha, also. Ubayam, or both-wise. Interesting word, both-wise. Sarvata, in all circumstances. Na, never. Ki, certainly. Sochya,
subject for lamentation.
Te, they. Snehat,
due to affection.
Anyatra, or otherwise. Mohajat,
due to bewilderment.
Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai. So this is Narada continuing his instructions. Now he's talking to Yudhisthira Maharaj. O king, in all circumstances, whether you consider the soul to be an eternal principle or the material body to be perishable, or everything to exist in the impersonal absolute truth, or everything to be an inexplicable combination of matter and spirit. Feelings of separation are due only to illusory affection and nothing more. So there's the hard sword cutting the knots in the heart of a attachment that we have. Anything, whatever your philosophy on life is, he listed four major philosophies there. Whatever it is, if you're thinking of feeling of separation, it's due to illusion. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The actual fact is that every living being is an individual part and parcel of the Supreme Being. And his constitutional position is subordinate cooperative service. The constitutional position, subordinate but cooperative service. Either in his conditional material existence or in his liberated position full of knowledge and eternity, the living entity is eternally under the control of the Supreme Lord. But those who are not conversant with the factual knowledge put forward many speculative propositions about the real position of the living entity. So without changing the, don't change the screen. Can anybody, all of you have your little devices there. But anyway, can any of you remember the four, or one of the four philosophies that Narada Muni was telling the king that, well, if you believe in this, what's one of them? Hold on, if everyone speaks at once, it's very difficult. Who would like to say the first one, over this way? The body's perishable. Even if you think the body's perishable. Okay, another one. Everything's part of Brahman? Yeah, impersonal Brahman. Okay? The soul. Even if you think the soul's eternal. And what was the other one? The mixture. That's where I go. It's inexplicable. It's an inexplicable combination of matter and spirit. That's what we think when we don't read enough. But when we read a little bit more, then there's an explanation. Okay. So that covers a lot of philosophical ground there. So what Prabhupada just said is, blah, blah, blah. But those who are not conversant with factual knowledge put forth many speculative propositions about the real position of the living entity. So already in the purport, Prabhupada said what the real position of the living entity was, and he phrased it in a very nice way, very catchy way, mind-attractive way. What did he say was the eternal principle of the living entity? Subordinate cooperative service. Interesting. The two things in normal parlance wouldn't go together. Subordinate and cooperative. Subordinate, sub, below. Someone's above you, you're underneath someone, like a boss, right? So in that position, you could say, in that example, there's obligatory service to the boss. It's an obligation. It's not necessarily love, and it's not necessarily voluntarily cooperating. It's cooperating because I want the means or the result of my service, which is usually a paycheck or some sort of support in that way. So I want that support, therefore I'm cooperating as the minimum amount I have to do to in order to get that paycheck or whatever. But Prabhupada's explaining here throughout the Vedic, throughout the Bhagavatam and Gita and so many things, that the position of the living entity, actually, that subordinate position that the living entity, his constitutional position, that's who we are, subordinate, eternally, Prabhupada said, eternally, whether one is in a conditioned state or in their factual liberated state of full knowledge and eternal service to the Lord, still, the Lord's the Lord, and we're his part and parcel eternally. So, but that relationship with the Lord, that loving relationship with the Lord, It's not dry. It's not oppressive. It's not detrimental in any way. It's actually the source of our happiness. It's the source of our happiness. Okay. It is admitted, however, by all schools of philosophy that the living being is eternal and that the covering body of the five material elements is perishable and temporary. The eternal living entity transmigrates from one material body to another by the law of karma, and material bodies are perishable by their fundamental structures. And even though the body is perishable, and even though the body is has its beginning, the body has its beginning, its birth, and then it grows for some time, it produces byproducts, and then starts the dwindling process. And a lot of us in this room are in the dwindling process right now. And even if there are a few people who don't have so much gray hair yet, even they are dwindling. Srila Prabhupada would say, sometimes we celebrate the birth of a child, and oh, he's 1 month old. And Prabhupada would say, yes, 1 month closer to death. Just cutting, cutting, cutting. Not in an unaffectionate way, not in a cruel way. And that's sometimes our challenge in devotional service, when we get some of this information of detachment. How do we exhibit that detachment not in an impersonal way, not in an uncaring way? We'll talk about that a little bit, if I remember. Okay, sorry. Therefore, there is nothing to be lamented in the case of the souls being transferred into another body or a material body's perishing at a certain stage. There are others also who believe in the merging of the spirit soul and the supreme spirit when it is uncovered by the material encagement. And there are others who do not believe in the existence of the spirit soul but believe in tangible matter. In our daily experience, we find so many transformations of matter from one form to another, but we do not lament such changing features. In either of the above cases, the force of divine energy is uncheckable. No one has any hand in it, and thus there is no cause of grief. So this verse and the purport are giving some of our very basic Krishna Conscious 101 philosophy about the eternality of the soul, the body's temporary. And this is a similar circumstance, similar verses are there in the Gita when the Lord speaking with Arjuna in the second chapter of the Gita, when the Lord speaking to Arjuna, when he's trying to dissipate Arjuna's lamentation. What is the basis of Arjuna's lamentation there in the battle of, confronted by the opposing side of the battle of Kurukshetra? His lamentation is, oh my gosh, these are all my family members. These are all my friends and family members. I have affection for them. I have attachment for them. How am I going to shoot at them? My grandfather, Bhishma, my military teacher, Drona, they're worthy of my worship, and you want me to shoot them with arrows. I should be offering flowers to them. Instead, I should be worshiping them. I'm totally indebted for the knowledge and care that they've given to me. And so Krishna's trying to change Arjuna's perspective by presenting various arguments along the way about the eternal position of the living entity. The soul is eternal. The connections that we have with our family, it's all well and good, but it's temporary. It's temporary. And as the examples are there throughout the Bhagavatam of the different living entities that have sometimes been by higher arrangement, brought back into a body that they had previously left, like in the case of Chitraketu's son. So when Chitraketu's son was killed by his stepmothers, and Chitraketu and his wife were lamenting piteously, Narada Muni came on the scene again, as he always does. just in the nick of time, and said to the king, "Why are you lamenting? Your son's right there. He's right there." And Narada brings, by his mystic potency, brings the son back to life again, into the body for some time. And the boy says a very shocking thing. Said, "Why are you lamenting? I've had so many parents. Are you really, which parent are you?" It's like cold water. Cold water on a sleepy face, you know? When the consciousness is dulled by thinking that what I'm seeing through my eyes, that's reality. But actually, the Bhagavatam, the scriptures are trying to say, no, 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 don't see through your eyes. See through the scriptures. Shastra Chakshu, see through the knowledge of the scriptures. And in that way, although there is these arrangements, relatives, family, responsibilities, etc., birth in a certain nation, in a certain circumstance, even though those circumstances are there, and they're real in the sense of that it's a reality, you're born in that situation, they're not a permanent reality. They're not really real, because real means eternal. And if it's temporary, it's not real. Real means eternal. And that's what the knowledge of the Bhagavatam through mediums like Narada Muni, that they're trying to over and over and over and over again remind the living entity, the conditioned living entity, who is what? Struggling with forgetfulness. We're struggling with forgetfulness due to the coverings of material energy, due to the covering and throwing and covering potency of the external energy of the Lord. We're struggling with forgetfulness. And even though we hear transcendental knowledge, even though it makes sense, even though we gather up a certain amount of determination to act on that transcendental knowledge, we definitely need the refill. We need to press the reset button often. We need the refill of transcendental knowledge daily, hourly, moment by moment. And even that, still, oftentimes, especially in cases like myself, even though you hear somewhat often, still our, what do you call, knee-jerk reaction oftentimes isn't based on a transcendental response. So I apologize for all those times that I've given many of you untranscendental responses to certain agitations of my mind. Okay, so we're almost finished here. In our daily, we did finish. See? Forgetfulness. It was only 3 minutes ago. Okay, but there was one other point, or there are many points, but one other point about the transformations that are happening in life daily. There's so many transformations that take place that we don't lament about. So I was listening to a class on this verse, and the person gave the example of flour. You've got some white flour, and you transform your white flour by mixing and adding different things. You transform it into a cake. Who's lamenting that? Oh my God, where's my flour gone? You know, it's transformations are happening all the time, but because there's a detachment, we don't get all upset about it. But these transformations of the living entity leaving the present body, going on in his progress and his journey and spiritual life, that brings about more. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have, again, we shouldn't have affection for the devotees, affection for the great saintly persons, affection for our family members. But we also have to have there a very strong connection with transcendental knowledge to take the edge off the illusion, the edge off the suffering, the edge off the pain, so that we understand this person's progressing in their spiritual life. So what am I lamenting about? I'm lamenting of my separation from their association, but they're progressing. So there's, in one sense, nothing to lament about. Although that's all nice philosophy and real philosophy. But as as we all experience separation from different people that we're attached to, it's not always easy to apply, but it's good to remember. Hare Krishna. Any thoughts or comments on this section, and then we'll go on to the next one. Comments, reflections, or okay, we'll go on to 45. That's, can we say this together? Tasmaj janga vaiplavam ajnana kritam atmana tatam tvam kripana vartenams chaktame vina. Sorry. I'm going to read the word for word. Vaiplavam, it's important. Tasmat, therefore, jahi, give up, anga, O king, vaiplavam, mental disparity, vaiplavam, ajnana, ignorance, kritam, due to, atmana, of yourself, kritam, how, to, but, anatta, helpless, nata, not, is shelter. Anatta is that you don't have a shelter, you're helpless. Kripana, poor creatures. Vartiram, be able to survive. Te, they. Cha, also. Mam, me. Vina, without. So here, Narda's going to continue on speaking, but he's finishing up the point that he's making in this section. So he says, tasmat, that means therefore. Take this and this and this and this and therefore. So the verse translation is, therefore, give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. And he just nails it here. You are now thinking of how they, who are helpless, poor creatures, will exist without you. In other words, your illusion is that you're thinking you're the maintainer and the supporter and the well-wishing dear friend of these people. Of your old uncle and aunt and even Vidura, but that's not your position. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a bit. Here's the purport. These are very applicable to our daily life. We can see how we fall into this illusion. I'm responsible for this. I'm that. My position is important. My service is important. And yes, it is important, but it has to be put in perspective. Here's the verse again. Therefore, give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. You are now thinking of how they, who are helpless, poor creatures, will exist without you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When we think of our kith and kin as being helpless and dependent on us, it is all due to ignorance. But I'm a responsible person. I'm supposed to be thinking of my kith and kin. I'm supposed to be maintaining them. I'm supposed to be doing this and that. When we think of our kith and kin as being helpless and dependent on us, it is due to ignorance. True. Every living creature is allowed all protection by the order of the Supreme Lord in terms of each one's acquired position in the world. Thus the Lord is known as Bhutabrit, one who gives protection to all living beings. One should discharge his duties only, for no one but the Supreme Lord can give protection to anyone else. This is explained more clearly in the following verse. So the next two verses are quite, again, important, and we'll be hearing from those in the next couple of days, the next two verses. But just this verse here, again, I'm going to say it again because it's important to hear it and let it sink in. Therefore, give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. You are now thinking of how they, who are helpless, poor creatures, will exist without you. So what's the circumstance? Maharaj Yudhisthira just finished the whole battle of Kurukshetra. The whole battle of Kurukshetra, you're all familiar with the circumstance surrounding it, and also of Maharaj Yudhisthira's lamentation at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra when realizing that 640 million people were all killed in order to place him on the throne, he was feeling responsible for that. And his lamentation couldn't be dissipated even by his talking with Krishna. Not till he spoke with Bhishma Dev on his deathbed was Bhishma Dev able to assuage his anxiety and put his consciousness back on the proper track, and so that Maharaj Yudhisthira would continue on with his God-given duty of ruling the citizens and protecting the whole, all of the praja in his kingdom, which included even his blind uncle Dhritarashtra, who contrived many vicious means to annihilate him and his brothers and his mother. And still he's openly maintaining them in the in his palace after they had lost everything. Men, money, kingdom, everything. So that's the bhav, one of the characteristics of a kshatriya nature, the viraras, protection, to offer protection to the city. Yudhisthira Maharaj, trained up from a young child as in the nature of a kshatriya, trained up in dharma, in religious principles, and in military art, he understood his duty as to give protection to all the citizens. Similarly, in the position of Maharaj Parikit, when Maharaj Parikit takes the throne and travels the kingdom, when he sees the cow and the bull being beaten by the personification of Kali, he's immediately aware of his duty. I have to stop this activity now so that it doesn't infiltrate and influence other people in the kingdom and what? Lead them on the path of irreligion. So the kshatriya's duty isn't just to exhibit his muscular strength or whatever. It's not that, but it's to lead the people on a religious path. So anyway, Yudhisthira Maharaj was in this illusion that's being explained here. He's an illusion thinking, Dhritarashtra and Gandhari, old, feeble, defeated in life circumstances, they have no other protector but me. Narada is saying, hello. Hello there. It's the Supreme Lord who's protecting. Hello there. It's not. We might be the agent through which the protection might be dispersed, but we're just the agent. And if it wasn't us, it would be someone else. And if it wasn't someone else, everyone is getting what they deserve, which is easy to say, difficult to say, and pinching to hear all at the same time. Oh, Prabhu, you're just getting what you deserve. It's your karma. You know, you're only reaping the results of your past activities. So why lament? Now, you could say that in different circumstances and different times, but as more difficult and more emotional the circumstance is, if you say that, not to be surprised if you get a very harsh reaction from the person who's hearing it. It's very hard. And so this is where we have to be sensitive and discriminatory in how we present our the absolute truth, you know, according to time and circumstances. It's it's an art that in our beginning stages of attempting to be fanatical Hare Krishnas, we often didn't do that very nicely, with much finesse, you could say. Giving you a perfect example of what not to do, I remember when I joined the movement in Boston, later I was sent down to Mexico, and then I was in Mexico and my father left his body. I didn't have a particular close relationship with my father, so when he left his body, and plus I was in Mexico, my family hardly, and I didn't speak to my family because why? They were just Maya anyway when I first joined. So they weren't my family, right? I'm eternal. So anyway, when my father left his body, I remember writing a very ridiculous letter to my mother explaining how he's not my father anyway, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I've thought of that ever since, because also I never had a chance to connect with my mother and apologize for that, because she left her, anyway. I've thought about that many times. Imagine if you're on the receiving end of a letter like that. I have been, no, anyway, it all comes around. Anyway, so we have to learn, gradually we learn how to not bang everybody over the head with the philosophy. This is the absolute truth, you're not your body, don't lament. Or, you know, whatever. And present it in a nice way, as Srila Prabhupada exemplified over and over and over and over and over again so many times. So are there any comments or questions or additions or... Sesha Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thank you. And, last night, my wife and I were talking about, who was it that enjoyed material in a Christian material life in a Christian conscious way?
Yes.
Who was it?
Swayam
Bhuva Man, who was described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that he enjoyed material facility in a Krishna conscious way. So if that's possible, what's better, to just renounce everything or to enjoy everything, material opulence, in a Krishna conscious way?
Thanks for that nice question. I would just have to change the question. That's not necessarily better. You know, what he did was right. He actually didn't want to, as you well remember the circumstance. He actually, isn't he right? He was the one that was already off meditating, and then he was told.
No,
that's the other one? I got the other one? Okay, sorry. Okay. All right. Thanks. It's a question of, for example, if somebody is in a position of material opulence, and they're Krishna conscious, then as explained through the Gita, discharge your duty, you know, discharge your duty as a matter of course, don't be attached to the circumstance, and you know, if by your past deeds one has a situation of opulence, then use that opulence in Krishna's service, and there's nothing, my understanding, there's nothing wrong with that. But if one is not in a position of opulence and strives, you know, and uses all his energy or her energy, cats in the temple room, can you kick them out? Thanks, sorry, thank you. And you strive and all your endeavor to become opulent so that you can use that in Krishna's service, that might be over-endeavor and might be one to heed the warning of Srila Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction, over-endeavor for mundane things, you know, it might be, so it would be better to, in that circumstance, to accept one's position and offer what comes of its own accord, my endeavor, but a regulated or simple endeavor to maintain the house and family, that might be more beneficial. I didn't really answer your question. Do you have anything you would like to add to that?
Mm-hmm. You answered it. Thank you.
Jack. Steedy D? You don't even have to raise your hand. You just have to have that gleam in your eyes, and I know to call on.
Well, if you're not the body, yes, you have to be, you know, worried about blowing people out for not being the body, because, you know, nobody's their body.
Okay.
So you're not the body, Prabhu. So you
don't
have to worry about blowing out other people for not being the body, since you're not the body too.
No, I just thought it was you guys that weren't the body.
Yeah, I guess that's a problem, isn't it?
Oh, that's my problem. Okay.
That's probably the real problem.
Thank you. Thanks for the reminder. Anything else, Madhumati?
Thank you very much for the class. It seems like you were talking about how, you know, and we all kind of did things like, you know, like to telling the parents this and that. It seems like maybe we have gone on the other side, extreme, where No, we don't tell devotees, oh, Prabhu, this is your karma, you know, or this or that. It seems like that we tend to, yeah, we sit down and hear the class, and we hear the philosophy. Maybe we haven't learned how to help sometimes somebody with telling the truth. We kind of tend to be more afraid of expressing what it is because gone on the other side of not saying. You could comment on that?
It's called a pendulum. We're on the pendulum swing. But even so, it's a question of real. Our spiritual life, our spiritual progress, has to be real. What makes it difficult is when we pontificate from a platform that we're not on ourselves and expect, just like, you know, I'm saying, oh, you guys aren't your body, but I'm thinking that I'm my body. If I'm pontificating on a platform where I'm not at, you know, then it's hard to take. But we have to be, sensitive to where people are at, and perhaps I'm just kind of babbling here, sorry. But perhaps being sent over, swinging to a more gentle side will enable someone to be able to hear properly when the time is there. The thing is that the soul will be able to hear the good instructions, even if the body and the mind can't hear it due to circumstances. The soul will hear, but still you want to present it in a way so that the soul within that body will continue on in their journey. So, does anyone else have any comments on that? My point is that we're thinking, perhaps we're thinking that that we're even more advanced than we really are. Mukunda, do you have something you can add to that, please? Or clarify? Thanks.
I think I can clarify just maybe like our Goswamis, like Rupan Sanatan Goswami, especially Sanatan Goswami, though they were very deep renunciants, he had so much affection, like dear Janapriyo, for all the Brijabasis. He would ask people about their home life.
Good
if
point,
somebody passed away, he would even say, oh, I'm so sorry your father or this one has passed, and how is your daughter? Has she married yet?
Yeah.
So there is some vyavyaharic, it's called, consideration. It means that we'll be appropriately in our dealings with people in the external world.
Yeah.
So internally, bhajan will be very deep. Mahaprabhu Tauragana Daska Swami, Antra Nishtakara, but Baya Loka, Vyavyahar. With the external world, you should be appropriate with people.
Yeah.
So be inappropriate to just say something that would be painful in the name of being, quote, realized.
Yeah.
One other point was about the having opulence. It's a very nice example in Pundarik Vidyanidhi, because apparently he was so lavishly living a lifestyle. But when Mukunda and Gadadhar went there, Gadadhar even in the Leela brought up the fact that this doesn't look like Vaishnav achar, Vaishnav behavior. But the real thing would be, what is the inner absorption of a person?
Yeah.
So as soon as, of course, Mukunda recited the verse, the whole Bhakti Yam verse, then the real nature of who Pundarik Vidyanidhi was manifested.
Yeah.
And bhakti is so wonderful, so sweet, that material life, opulence, can't compare. Once you have actual taste in bhakti, it cannot compare.
Thanks.
So circumstances are just external.
Thanks. Two great points. Thanks for that. That kind of just brought to mind, we were reading in the second canto, we're reading on the Chaturshloki verses, and maybe the third verse in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the mystery of bhakti, the mystery of Krishna consciousness. And the mystery means that things are not always crystal clear in the beginning. Like you said, bhakti is very deep. So the mystery of how to act in a certain circumstance or to act in
you know, appropriately in social circumstances, based on love for Krishna, based on wishing well to that person. So, anyway, just adding that there.
I have one comment. You know, I was doing an astrological reading for somebody yesterday who's 1.5 month old daughter died just about 3 months ago. So it's, you know, you have to kind of help them and guide them, but do it in a very gentle way.
Yeah.
So I didn't mention the word karma. That would have been, you know, the worst thing to do.
Yeah.
But we kind of talked about giving my best guidance, but they weren't getting it. They weren't able to move forward. But so then I simply just told them the story of Maharaj Chitraketu, which you mentioned today. And that had such a tremendous impact on them that, you know, it wasn't about them, it's just a story from the Bhagavatam. So in a lot of cases where I see, you know, people where the situation is difficult, just stories from the Bhagavatam help really guide them to kind of understanding things without it feeling like someone's being heavy on them or pontificating to them, that type of thing.
Pounding them over the head with philosophy. Don't you understand? No, but look at this, what this person did. What this circumstance, how they suffered and became a monk. Very good. Thank you for that. Thank you very kindly. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Martin Luther Ki Jai.